Hey, welcome to the Pachanga and Possibility Podcast, the podcast where we celebrate the power of healing and transformation. I am your host, Natalie Calzadilla. Each week, I'll be interviewing experts that will inspire you to discover your soul's purpose and create a fulfilling life. I'll also be sharing some spiritual coaching along the way and personal adventures as I enter this new phase in my life as a mother and entrepreneur. All right, mi gente, grab your cafecito and a notebook. Let's get started. Welcome to another episode of Pachanga and Possibility. My name is Natalie Calzadilla and I am your host. Today we're talking about visits from my dad from the afterlife. Yep. We don't die, y'all. We do not die. Our loved ones are with us all the time. They can hear us loud and clear when we talk to them. In my experience, if you talk out loud like a crazy person, make sure no one's around, they can hear you clearer than if you're relying on them to read your mind. But in my experience so far, and I will tell you another story in the upcoming future about why I think this is so true. But for now, I'll tell you how I've played around with that concept and the results I got. And my dad gave me a wonderful gift for my birthday this year, and he died from cancer in 2020, December 10th, 2020. And it was really traumatic for me because I had just had Amara and we were in the middle of the pandemic and it was just really bad. When he died, we were expecting it, so it wasn't a surprise, but it was still really intense. And the day came, my sister called me the day that he was going to pass. My sister called me the day that it seemed things were getting worse. They didn't say he was going to pass that day, but they said, it's, you know, we're getting down to the next few days. And I could sat down, spoke to my guides, and they said, it's happening today. Hurry up and get down there because you may not even make it. Because I lived 45 minutes away. So I rushed down there, and sure enough, he dies later on that day. So fast forward to not that much longer. So I'm going to tell you two stories. The very first visit I got from my dad, and the second, and the most recent visit I got from my dad. And he's popped in many times in between. The predominant way that he communicates is in my dreams. When you get visits from the afterlife in your dreams, the energetic like signature of the dreams are very different from a regular dream. Like, these visitation dreams are very clear. You remember every single detail. It's so real that it feels like you can even almost distinguish it from real life because it felt so real. That's like how I don't say believable, because the basis that you believe it. And it's so powerful. And you're going to know, and I'm sure you're already thinking like, yeah, I've already been visited, or I think I know what you're talking about, because I had this dream with this loved one, and man, it felt so real and it felt very different from any other dream that I've had. So I want you to trust that, because those are actual visitations. They just have like a completely different feeling to them. And it also feels like they normally don't follow like a dream sequence, like a plot. It's almost like you're dreaming one thing and all of a sudden like your regular programming is interrupted by this emergency broadcast, and then your loved one comes in and they're like, hey, what's up? And usually they communicate psychically. There's not like any words being said. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But that's been the main common thread with my dad and with other friends of mine that have passed, where they pop in and you're very lucid. You're like, oh, I know I'm dreaming and I know that this person's here and let's have a conversation. So you also will become lucid in the dream. So you can control like what's happening and you're very much aware that you're asleep and this is a visitation and that you have the opportunity to communicate. And then you'll have dreams with your loved ones that feels very much like a dream. And it follows some sort of random plot line or some memory or something, and it's just very dreamlike. But hold on, bear with me. I forgot to turn on the baby cam. Amara is sleeping and Daryl's playing pickleball. Okay, she's knocked out. Sorry, not she. So, yeah, so that's the main signature of how you know that like you're getting a visit from a loved one versus like a regular dream. So my dad, I have one of these dreams, I think the very next day. Yeah, maximum 2 days. Like this was immediately after, maybe within the first 1, 2, 3 days. And my dad shows up and I'm like in the house where he passed. They're doing like what's it called? Like the gathering before you die. And my mind is blanking out. It's 8:30 p.m. already. And they are like the viewing or whatnot, which he didn't have one, but in my dream we're having one at the ho at his house. And I'm at this event and I see my sister, but my sister's talking to my dad. And I'm like, how are you talking to dad? Dad is dead. Like, what are you here attending your own funeral service? Like, what is happening right now? And I walk up to them and I'm like, hey, what's up? Hey, dad, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, like happy and chilling and giggly. And he's like, you're not gonna believe what happened. And I'm like, what happened? He goes, okay, so I'm in the hearse, right? And I'm like, again. And I'm like, and you can see like how surreal and crazy this whole scene is, right? Like, I know he's dead. He knows he's dead because he's telling me a story about he's in the hearse and we're all chatting, right? And he's like, remember I left in the hearse and I'm in the hearse. And he's like, so I unzip the bag, which he didn't even leave in a body bag, but in this dream he like is in a body bag, which is strange. And he's like, so in the body bags, there's the zipper. There's a zipper on the outside and there's a zipper on the inside. And the zipper on the inside glows in the dark just in case. So I wake up, I unzip the thing, I unzip the bag, and I sit up in the hearse and I say hi to the driver. And he's like, bro, you should have seen his face. He freaked the hell out. He's like, oh man, and then my dad in the dream is cracking up at this. And then I'm cracking up. We're all laughing about how he wakes up like in the hearse and gets out and like totally terrifies his driver. And this is so my dad. Like my dad was the biggest jokester ever. Like that was the common bond between me and my dad and my sister. Was just the ongoing jokes, even down to like his deathbed. Like, he was still trying to make me laugh and make faces and be silly and all of these things when he's like half lucid and half not. And it was just like that's was a really big thing. And one of his best qualities was his sense of humor. And I really needed that laugh. Like, I felt like my dad came into the dream and just like told me a joke and a funny story in his true manner of who he is to cheer me up, knowing that I was grieving like so hard. And so that was that dream, and that was really cute and hilarious. I'm wondering, I don't think I'm forgetting any details in that story. It's already been, gosh, it's been 3 years now. 3 years and 4 days. In 4 days, it'll be 3 years. Super rough. Entonces, the next story. And so, since then, the other way that he's come through, that we get visits from loved ones or even messages from angels or from spirit guides or from God. Like, a lot of spiritual communication happens in that twilight stage, which I believe they call theta. Then the theta brainwave state, when you're either about to fall asleep or about to wake up. For me, it's when I'm about to wake up, in that little window of time where I'm in between. That's usually when he'll show up, or guides, and send me a message and communicate with me and give me a visitation. That's another way that spirits will communicate. And I want to say spirit, because spirit sounds like, oh, we're talking about ghosts, and that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about loved ones or spirit guides or angels. That twilight time is a very powerful time. I also heard, you know, people in the middle of the night, like 3, 4 a.m. is another, like, magical time. Or unmagical, but that's a whole other podcast. It depends on who you ask. But anyways, so mainly that's another sign that you are communicating, is in this twilight stage before you wake or go to sleep. So in this other story I'm going to tell you now, this is the most recent experience, second to last. I'm not ready to speak about the most recent, but the second to last, which happened on my birthday. So I've been studying mediumship and doing research and just listening to a lot of podcasts and really getting into the subject, fascinated obviously by the afterlife, in desperation, honestly, to want to communicate with my dad, right? Because I'm still grieving pretty hard. It's gotten a lot better. But my grief was delayed by a couple things, a couple reasons, Amara and some other stuff that happened around his birthday that was traumatic, that delayed my grieving process. So new grief is considered the first 2 years after someone passes. It's considered new grief. And then after 2 years, it's considered mature grief, but it's always a blurry line. It's not textbook, because every person's grieving journey is different. But just so you have an idea, like, the first 2 years are still considered new grief. No one's expecting you. Well, that's not true. This society, especially in this country, is expecting for you to be over it in 3 days. But in the research, new grief is like the first 2 years, and then it moves into mature grief. So I've been listening to this podcast, and I listened to this one episode, and I can't for the life of me tell you who or what it was or what book or anything. I'm sorry. but this woman wrote a book about how she communicated with her husband via text message. And it was a great interview, but she started communicating with him, saying, all right, and she would speak out loud, and she was like, I need a sign, but I need like a super specific sign that's undeniably you. So she said something like, send me a feather on a train and not on a chair. I don't know what. She said something like that was super specific and random as hell. And sure enough, soon after that, she ends up on a train and the feather's there on the seat next to her. I don't know what. Something, everything she had asked for in the sign, it happened. But she says, I said it out loud, like talk to them out loud. And that was something I really haven't done. You know, some people do that, like, I feel naturally. They just know their loved one passed, and they just talk to them out loud like it's all good. But that really hadn't unfolded that way for me. Maybe because I'm always like around someone or around Amara, and that would just be weird. So I said, all right, Dad, we're going to do an experiment. Let's try this. And so I was driving to my salsa dancing classes, which is like the only time I get alone, I think, is when I'm in the car, if I'm without Amara. And I said, all right, Dad, if you're listening to me, I need you to send me a sign that so I know you can hear me. And the sign is that I need you to send me spicy chocolate. So nobody knows that I like red pepper chocolate. Okay. Only like one person on this planet knows that. And it was a chef who introduced it to me, an old friend of mine that is a chef, and he's the one that gave me like this chocolate bar that has like red pepper in it. And it's freaking delicious if you haven't tried it. And I'm thinking I'm gonna get this like bar with chocolate in it from CVS given to me, maybe by, a random person. That was like the best my imagination could do. And every like week I would reinforce it, and I would talk to Dad and be like, "Dad, remember, like I need you to send me spicy chocolate so I know you can hear me. Spicy chocolate." And nobody, I told nobody about this. And then maybe like 6 to 8 weeks passed, and now it's my birthday weekend. So on my birthday weekend, I pay to go to like a full moon, a sound bath. Kind of a, was it full moon or new moon? A cacao ceremony slash sound bath event. And I go, and I had never been to a cacao ceremony in my life. And it had been something I had been wanting to try. And I go to the thing, and the event is nice. I had a good time, tried the raw cacao. It tasted like dirt and chocolate put together. And the texture was really thick and kind of gross, and I totally was not feeling it whatsoever. The event was really nice. I had a nice emotional release on the mat when one of the healers came by to give me Reiki. So like I felt like really held in that experience, and it was just nice to get out of the house and do something for myself and get into a spiritual community, because I feel very displaced in Broward, because I'm not from here. I'm from Miami. And so Miami, I had a big spiritual community, but here I do not. So I long for that, deeply still. And then fast forward to Sunday of my birthday weekend. So my birthday was that Saturday. The next day is Sunday. And a random friend of mine sends me a message on Instagram. And she is a naturopathic doctor who owned a clinic in Arizona when I used to live in Phoenix. And I had a Reiki room, and I would be able to like facilitate events and see clients in her office. And it was really nice. And she was an acquaintance. So out of nowhere, she sends me a message, and she's like, "Hey, I'm in town. I'd love to catch up, and talk." And I had seen that she had like left her clinic and was like in the jungle doing plant medicine. And I was like, "Whoa, this girl just like her life has done a 180, and I'd love to hear like what she's up to." And then she's like, "Hey, I'm doing an event tonight because I'm assisting at these sound healing events while we're here, me and my partner." And I was like, "Oh, cool." And I was like, "Is this something I can attend?" And she was like, "Yeah, come as my guest and I got you." And her husband apparently it was like plant medicine shaman, and her and him were guest like facilitators at this other sound temple that we have locally. And oh my God, and her husband sings amazing. And I am going to try to find on here and end this podcast with the two songs that really, really, really moved me like deeply at the event that he sang. And I'll tell you that the best people that sing it online, her husband can sing it 10 times better than that. But to give you an idea, oh, it was so delicious. Oh my God. So, anyways, going back, she tells me, "Come to this event, whatever." And I'm like, "Cool, I've manifested on my birthday weekend two sound healing events, new moon cacao ceremonies slash sound healing event." And I'm like, random as hell. I love these last minute like things when they pop up with like people out of nowhere. And it just gets me back into that. It gets me very nostalgic to like how I used to live my life before motherhood. And there was a lot of like magical moments and synchronicities. So I'm all ecstatic. I go to the event. I see her. It's like the event is just really cool. It's a whole other tribe of people, a whole other different spiritual community, and it's a whole different setting, and it's a big like production, and her and I are just catching up, and I was already like a hot mess, like, oh my God, because like I had said in the previous episode, I had taken a big hiatus from the podcast because of everything that I had been going through with Amara and me trying to just cope with the stress of managing her illness and managing my own unregulated nervous system through this process, because her stuff has triggered my stuff like intensely, and now I finally am back into a good balance. And maybe I'll do a different episode or an episode exclusive for the Patreon community of like all the different things I've done for self-care to manage the stress of the caregiving and managing type 1 diabetes, because it's life-threatening and she's insulin dependent. So the stress is insane. And as I say this and I'm talking to you, her sugar is dropping. And I might have to pause this recording to give her, to wake her up and give her apple juice. I will let you know. All right, so let me finish this story because that might be her pressure low. Give me one moment. Let me look at her data. Yes, that is a pressure low. She is really not that low. So if she sleeps on her Dexcom, the constant glucose monitor, and she like, it's on her butt, and if she's like leans exactly, like sleeps and puts a ton of weight on that particular place of her butt, it'll give me false data and it'll appear like she's dropping severely and she's not. But you can kind of tell the difference because it's like a sudden drop that doesn't make sense. Anyways, you're gonna learn about diabetes whether you like it or not if you're gonna listen to this podcast. So I'm at this event, I'm talking to her, we're catching up, I'm crying, I'm sharing, she's sharing all the magical things that she's gone through, and she has a healing center in Peru, like full-blown medicine woman now with her partner leading ayahuasca events and these retreats. It's called the Hampui Center if you want to check it out. And her name is Dr. Heather Paulson if you want to check her out and her work. She's an amazing naturopathic doctor, and she does like the dietas for the ceremonies and is trauma informed and all sorts of stuff. So we're talking and they hand me a cup of cacao and they're like, oh, this is like the last little bit, we already handed it out to everyone else while you guys were talking, this is like the last cup or something, here, you know, do you want it? And I was like, oh yeah, sure. And I'm not exactly thrilled to drink it because of how gross it tasted the day before at the other event. And then finally, I start to drink it because the event is going to start soon. And as I'm drinking it, I'm like, oh, this tastes a lot better. Like the consistency is like very nice and smooth and it tastes good. Naturally, like the ceremonial cacao is not like a hot cocoa. Like it doesn't have any sugar or anything yet. So, you know, it's a bitter chocolate. And as I'm talking to her, I realize that my mouth is tingly. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, this coffee. I'll let you hear. Those are all diabetes alarms now. They're all going off because of the pressure low. Oh, God. Okay. What is this reading right now? It's fine. So I realized That was the peak of my story, and that was totally like it fell flat because of the alarms. So I got knocked off of the recording because anytime that she has a low blood sugar, there's an app that calls me to notify me, and my phone was not on do not disturb mode, so I was cut off. So I'm back now again. So I'm at this moment where I realize that the chocolate is spicy. Oh my God. I lost it. Like I was just like crying. And it was just like, I had like the most surreal moment because I'm sitting there and I was like, wow, Bobby, like out of all the ways that you could have delivered this sign and this spicy chocolate. Like, I could have been like, Daryl would have, could have brought it from CVS, you know, one day and been like, here, you might like this. No, it was like through meeting up with a friend that I hadn't seen in ages in this like amazing sound healing community, which was like, oh, something else I hadn't discovered that was local, also like a different one. And then it was like the setting, and it was so like high vibe and the sound healing. And then it was like a gong meditation first, and then after the gong meditation was the sound bowl healing. And then Heather and her partner started doing the singing, and it was like all of these medicine songs. It was like a private show concert of just like beautiful spiritual music after like all of this delicious sound healing. I mean, and then there was like Native American flute too and guitar, and it was just like magical. And then at the end, Heather gives me the rattle to join in and like play with them. And I was like, oh my God, it was just like, the whole night, like, I knew that my dad was with me and that he sent me this spicy chocolate and that he sent it to me on my birthday, like, in the most healing container, magical place, like, the sound healing itself, the healing cacao, because ceremonial cacao is also very healing in of itself. It's not just chocolate, it's ceremonial cacao, and there's a certain intention and way that you drink it, and it works on a much deeper level than just having a Hershey bar. And that's another episode. I have to do an episode just on doing cacao ceremonies, because I haven't covered that, and that's absolutely necessary. So I had that, and then the gong, and the sound healing, and the flute, and the mini concert. And then I was like crying so much during the whole like event that night. And my heart was so full, and I just felt like so freaking magical and so like loved, you know, like loved by my dad. And that he just, he killed it, man. He killed it. Like, when I asked for a little sign, and he was like, here you go, man. Like, I'm here with all the bells and whistles. And I was just blown away, because I had no idea that, apparently I found out later, that if you prepare like cacao properly, or I want to say properly, that may not be the right word, but it's very custom to prepare ceremonial cacao and add something spicy. And it's not just like red pepper, there's like some cayenne pepper. That's why I meant to say cayenne. And then I think there's something different also that can make it spicy, that my friend said. So apparently that's like typical, but I didn't know that. The day before I was at a cacao ceremony, they didn't put that in there. It was very different. Kind of gross. So I really didn't expect anything in the following day's cacao. So that night, so to end it with a bang, so check this out. So one of the songs is called Yana Puma. And it's a song about like spiritual protection, and my friend sings it before she goes to sleep in the jungle, because apparently, believe it or not, there's a lot of shade being thrown around between, I guess, like villages or tribes, or I don't know what, between people to people in the jungles down there in Peru. And so she sings it as part of like her protection intention before going to bed, which I thought was really interesting. And it's almost like they go through the medicine wheel and the four directions and the power animals for each of the directions. And it's a really beautiful song, and I really resonated deeply with it. Like, it was like, I felt like it was my song, like a power song for me in my shamanic practice. So I was just like, oh, so delicious. So she tells me who sings the song, and I immediately play it on my way home. And I'm driving home from the event on cloud 9. Like, I've got like that spiritual high of being connected and the relaxation from the sound healing and all the synchronicities, and just happy that I connected with an old friend. And for me, music is really powerful. So the fact that, like, I just witnessed this little tiny concert that was just delicious and so heart opening, and oh my God, I was just high on life in that moment. And I turn into my neighborhood and a coyote has darted in front of my car. I am a native, like, South Floridian. Never in my freaking life have I seen a coyote here. They exist. It's not like a mystery. It's not like they don't. But I've never seen one or heard one down here ever. Like, I'm in the middle of suburbia. I am not, like, out west in the country or anything. I am, like, in suburbia, kind of east, like, close to east, close to Fort Lauderdale, in a very, like, metropolitan area. And there's coyote, and coyote has very strong medicine, because that coyote belongs to the south of the medicine wheel, and they're the tricksters, and they're all about, like, safety, and your, don't quote me now, hold on. In the south is all about, like, your foundation, like, almost think like root chakra type stuff, and trust and innocence. And the coyote is, like, resilient, and they're jokesters. And I was just like, they're a medicine animal is pretty much what I want to say. Like, I just had coyote cross in front of my car at this moment when I turned into my block, and it was a coyote. Like, I know what a coyote looks like because I lived in Tennessee and in Phoenix, but mostly in Tennessee, I saw them and heard them all the time. It was, like, very common. And so I'm aware that how to differentiate a coyote from, like, a dog. And this coyote just darts in front of my car, and I was like, what? Oh my God. And then I was like, wait a minute, is there a coyote in this song? And sure enough, there was. One of the verses sings to coyote, and I was like, oh my God, this is crazy, this is so crazy. So that is it. Those are my stories for today of my very first visit from my dad, my second to last visit from my dad. There's a few in between that, and the one most recent is gonna have its own episode, because that's another one of epic proportions. And those are also some information about how you can differentiate your, you know, dreams, visitation dreams, from regular dreams, and also when they both are likely to communicate in that twilight state. But also, you can ask for signs, and ask for signs very specifically, and ask for them out loud. I feel that that has generated more results. And just know that if you are grieving during the holidays, that you are not alone. Something that unites us all, but nobody really talks about, is grief. And it's okay to talk to people about their grief. And one way that you can bring grief up is saying, like, oh, how is your grief today around this person? Because when people are grieving, you're scared to ask them about the person that they miss, because you don't want to, like, make them sad. But really, what will make them feel really good is asking them about the person that they lost, saying, you know, tell me what you miss the most about this person. Tell me how your grief is today, you know, because you're not going to get over it. You're not going to get through it. You just learn to live with it, and then maybe one day find purpose in it. But it doesn't go away. So I know that it's scary when people around are grieving. But, and don't bright side people. Oh God, like that's puke. Like, don't bright side people. Well, on the bright side, or well, maybe this, or bright, you know, forcing someone to look at, well, at least, you know, this happened, or at least they're not suffering anymore, or at least you have somebody else, or at least none of that shit, please. That is not helpful in any way. So don't bright side anybody, because that's actually not helpful in any way. It's about holding space and grief just wants to be witnessed. That's it. Held in love and witnessed. So if you're grieving right now, you are not alone. I see you. If you need any support, please reach out. And until the next episode, please share this episode with anybody that you think might benefit from it. If you like this show or this episode, please also rate and review wherever you listen. And lastly, this podcast is sponsored by my Etsy shop. So if you want to check out all of my spiritual, adorable, unicorn-themed art, go to Etsy. It's nataliecalzadilla.etsy.com, and you can support the podcast that way. The Patreon is officially live. I forgot to mention that. So if you go into patreon.com/nataliecalzadilla, then you will find the Patreon. I'm sure if you look for Pachanga, it'll come up too. I'm doubting the URL. Look in the show notes, but it'll come up. If you just search either my name or Pachanga Impossibility, it'll come up. It's $5 a month. If you want to be a Patreon of the podcast, you'll get exclusive content and you'll just be supporting me on this mission to keep this podcast alive. All right. Thanks so much for being here and for taking the time to listen to this podcast, and sending you lots of love and blessings. Bye for now.